Notre Dame, with a historic tradition of excellence, welcomes you to the Jack Swarbrick Show, where we pursue all things Notre Dame athletics.
The Jack Swarbrick Show is brought to you by
Team Notre Dame partner Spirit, Coke Zero, Under Armour, Gatorade, and is also sponsored by Xfinity. Now, the host of the Jack Swarbrick Show, Jack Nolan, on your home for Notre Dame football, 89 WLS.
Welcome, Irish fans, to the Jack Swarbrick Show. With this being spring break on campus at Notre Dame, and with both student athletes and administrators spread all across the country for various competitions, we thought it was a good week for a best-of edition of the Jack Swarbrick Show. In honor of the Notre Dame women's basketball team winning their third straight ACC title this past Sunday, we thought we would revisit our October interview with head coach Muffet McGraw and our January conversation with Lindsey Allen, the only Notre Dame player to play all 40 minutes in the 68-57 title game win over Syracuse. Lindsey dished out a game-high 6 assists to go with 8 points in the win. And with the 10th-ranked Notre Dame hockey team hosting Northeastern in the Hockey East quarterfinals this weekend at the Compton Family Ice Arena, we thought we would re-cue our early January interview with Irish head coach Jeff Jackson.
Our first guest on this week's show needs no introduction, but her amazing accomplishments during her first 28 years as the head women's basketball coach at Notre Dame should not go unmentioned. During her tenure at Notre Dame, Muffet McGraw has led the Irish to 13 trips to the NCAA Sweet 16 in the last 19 seasons. She has guided the Irish to 7 trips to the Final Four, including a current streak of 5 in a row, and 5 trips to the NCAA Championship game, including 4 of the last 5 years. The Irish won it all by beating Purdue in St. Louis in 2001. Coach McGraw is a 3-time consensus National Coach of the Year and is the only Division I coach to sweep the Big Four Coach of the Year awards 3 times. In 2011, McGraw became the first representative of Notre Dame to be inducted into the Women's Basketball Hall of Fame. Currently preparing her team for their exhibition game at noon on November 7th in Purcell Pavilion, Coach McGraw is taking some time out of her busy schedule to visit with Joe and Jack today.
Coach, thank you so much for being with us. I really appreciate it. We'll get to basketball in a minute, I promise, but you played in a pro-am with Annika Sorensen. How many strokes did you have to give her? What was the outcome? What was that experience like?
You know, I got to play with Stacey Lewis. I was with Annika Sorenstam on a panel that we did, and it was a fabulous experience. I put my clubs in the bag quite a few times. We played her ball the entire day, of course, but so much fun. What a great day just to be with some professional women golfers who really don't get the attention they deserve.
Well, tell us a little bit about the conference, though, that was really the main reason you were there, and really a pretty spectacular event.
It was. KPMG put on a leadership summit for women, so it was all women CEOs from across the country. Condoleezza Rice was the keynote speaker, so a fabulous ending. I was with Annika Sorenstam, Stacey Lewis on a panel, and we just got to talk about women in sports, women as leaders, and you know that's one of my passions.
Absolutely.
That's incredible. So what exactly did you kind of bring to the conference? Were you just kind of answering questions, or did you have your own your own speech that you had prepared?
You know, it was a Q&A mostly, so we got to just answer some questions from the moderator. But it was really well done. We got to talk a lot about women, young women, how we do things on the court, in the locker room, and getting them prepared for the boardroom.
And where exactly did you kind of form your own thought process on that? I know before Notre Dame, you were at Lehigh. Throughout your career here, what exactly have you, you know, been doing research-wise? Has it just been kind of learning on the job? I don't know. I'm kind of curious about this with coaches.
It's a lot of on-the-job training. I think dealing with women for so many years, 28, 29 years here at Notre Dame and coaching all my life, I've really learned a lot of things. And I think one of the biggest things for me is that, you know, from the time girls are born, we're teaching them about how they're supposed to act as girls. These are the toys that the girls play with. This is how you're going to be. This is what you can be. I think we're so happy that they get along, and I think we need to be less happy about that, how they go along. We're always encouraging them to just go along. And for me, I want to teach them how to fight. I want to teach them that you got to fight for what you want. You got to fight to win a national championship. You got to fight for playing time. Everything you do, you got to fight for. And we don't teach our girls that. We don't teach them to have a swagger. And I want my team to have a swagger. So when we go out and when they go out and when they graduate and they go off and they're in the communities and they're in the business world or anywhere and they see something, they're willing to stand up and fight for it. They got to find their voice, and that's something that I can teach them, to build their confidence so that when they do go out, they can stand up, find their voice, use their voice, and fight for what they want.
Well, this is a team with that deservedly has a lot of swagger. It's had a lot of recent success. It's also got a target on its back. Your fellow coaches decided that the Irish were the preseason favorites in the conference. I attended Basketball 101 this week and learned that our transition plays have metal names, copper and lead. But it's a season full of expectations as you head into it. How do you sort of manage those expectations? You always have them with this program, but they seem especially acute this year.
You know, they're always high, and I think we like that. The bar is always high. The expectations are high. When you get to the Final Four 5 years in a row, people just expect it's going to happen. We've lost some great players over the years, and we've managed to come back because we have a great culture. And I think it's all about the culture that we have. The players that come in understand right away, this is how we do things at Notre Dame. We've got a great senior group, and you have to have that leadership. We are missing a few pieces this year. We've got some great freshmen, all Americans, but it takes time. So we're going to have to be patient. At least I'm going to have to be patient. That's a challenge for me, as you know. But we do have some talent. Breonna Turner, player of the year in the preseason, just a sophomore. A lot on her shoulders, and we're hoping that our post game will really be able to carry us this year.
Well, it'll undoubtedly play an enormous role, but boy, you got guards. You got a lot of guards, Coach.
We have a lot of guards. You know, you need guards. You can't get to the Final Four without great guard play. And Lindsay Allen is just superb. She is the best point guard in the country. She is just so steady. She doesn't turn the ball over. She makes things happen. She can score. She can do so many things. She runs the team, and she is a great leader for us. Michaela Mabry on the wing shooting threes with Madison Cable. So happy that Madison decided to come back for that fifth year. We've got that great experience on the wing. You've got to be able to guard us. Probably not going to see a lot of zone with those shooters. And then coming off the bench, we've got great guards again. Arike Ogunbowale, Marina Mabry, Ali Patberg. Just a ton of talent on this team.
I'm really happy you said Arike's name so I could miss that part of the Q&A.
Steer clear of that one. But so you talk about all the talent we have, and you mentioned culture just a little bit there. But one of the things I think about when I think about our basketball program is consistency. And I think, you know, five consecutive Final Fours, but really over the last, like, 25 years, as long as you've been here, it's been that way. How did you build that from the ground up, and how do you maintain, you know, the tenacity and the drive to win? It's really hard. I see coaches all the time leaving and going different places because they can't keep that at one place, and you seem to have done it so excellently.
And I found my dream job. To be here is such a blessing, and I feel like the luckiest person in the world. And, you know, Notre Dame recruits a certain type of player. I think we look for a certain type of player. We obviously want somebody that's really unselfish. We want somebody that's competitive and wants to win. I think the team chemistry for me is the most important thing. It's so much more important than talent. It's how you get along with each other, how they play together, the willingness to make that extra pass, to dive on the floor for loose balls. You got to be able to do the little things and to really commit yourself to the process. It's a journey. The season is a journey. You can't focus on the wins and losses so much as what you're doing every day at practice to prepare you for your end goal.
When you recruit nationally, how do you kind of find the right player to fit within that chemistry? It's almost, I know, it seems to be a very difficult task.
Recruiting is difficult, as you know, having gone through it yourself.
Right.
There's a lot to be considered, and certainly the academics that we have here really kind of narrows the field a little bit. You want to find good players, but you want to find good players that are going to really mesh with other players. So we really look a lot at how they play, how they react with their teammates, what kind of leader are they on the floor, how do they look when the coach is yelling at them. Are they looking at their parents in the stands? Are they looking for somebody else? Or are they the one out there that the team is looking to? I really want those kids that are the leader on the floor.
You know, it's players spend a lot of time getting ready for the season. This year, coaches have to spend a little bit extra time getting ready for the season because there have been a lot of rule changes. You, the leadership of the women's basketball coaches group, have helped usher in a number of changes. Help us understand those.
We have, and I thought you were talking about my shopping spree in anticipation of the season, so I'd be happy to talk about the rules. We are going to a whole new format, four quarters, similar to the NBA and WNBA, so we'll be on a professional level. We've got a new backcourt rule where if you knock the ball out of bounds, you actually still only get the 10 seconds. They used to reset the clock. We will have a really, really good thing at the end of the games. We're allowed to advance the ball. So in the last minute of the game, in a close game, when you rebound or inbound the ball, you can advance it right to your end. So if there's 3 seconds left, you got a really good shot at making a big play at the end of the game. I think it's going to bring a lot of excitement to the game for the fans. And there's no more one-on-one. Everything's a two-shot foul. 5 fouls into the first quarter, you're in the two-shot bonus. 5 fouls into the second quarter. There's going to be less timeouts, so we got to be ready to go. If a coach calls timeouts 2 minutes into the quarter, which we're hoping the other team only does that, you got to go 8 straight minutes without a timeout. So we've got to be in really good shape.
That's the one element of it I found most interesting. It's going to change timeout strategy, or needs to, in terms of when you call them and whether you can the opponent can stem a tide when we get on a roll.
It is going to be interesting. You know, you have those times, there's a skirmish on the floor. It might be a jump ball, but if somebody wants to call a timeout, you're having trouble inbounding the ball, you know, you might want to take a timeout. And now I think I'll tell the team in the first quarter, we're going to have to turn it over a few times and save that timeout because we may need it at the end.
Wow, I mean, it sounds like the game is just going to get a lot more exciting and just a lot more fast-paced, which is going to be great. Why exactly the change to 4 quarters? Was it just to kind of go, be synonymous with the WNBA and the NBA?
You know, we're trying to pick up the pace. I think that was the biggest thing for us. There's a lot of stoppages of play. There were so many timeouts, 16, 12, 8, and 4. There's a timeout. Plus, in addition to the 5 that each coach would have, it just stopped play too much. There wasn't quite enough scoring. So we want to make it more interesting for the fans. I think keep it up-tempo, which is what we've always liked. I think our fans will like it. The only problem with me is the timeouts are about 2.5 minutes, and I'm good with a 30-second. I can pretty much get it all in.
Coach, we've talked tenacity, fighting, culture. The other key ingredient that sort of year to year is so important in our success is leadership. What are some of the key leaders on this year's squad?
Well, we've got some great leaders. Michaela Mabry, probably our most vocal player. She is somebody that just really understands the game well. She's got a high IQ. She is somebody willing to use her voice at practice. Hannah Huffman doing a really good job for us in a leadership role with a lot of the players. Madison Cable is a fifth-year senior. I think people look to her mental toughness. She's probably one of the toughest kids I know. She is so competitive, and I love that. And then, of course, Lindsay Allen, your point guard, has to be a leader on the floor.
Yeah. You also Taya got a lot of international experience this year, playing in international competition. How does that help benefit?
Yeah, that
team?
Really helps you when you play in USA Basketball. Taya was in the Pan Am teams, went up to Canada and played against Natalie Achamla's team, so that was interesting to watch that. She got some great experience doing that. She was a leader on that team, and I think that's going to really help her. She's been out with an injury, and she's doing a great job of leading from the sideline right now, encouraging the team, working hard to get back, and we hope to have her back soon.
Speaking of teammates playing against each other. We had two alums in the WNBA finals. That was fun to see.
That was so fun to watch. Very hard to cheer. And they guarded each other at times in the game. And it was thrilling. And I mentioned that to both of them. And they said, and somebody always shouted, "Go Irish," whenever it happened. So great for Devereaux to have her second championship in the WNBA. And for Natalie as a rookie to get into the final was amazing. What a great season she had.
It seems like all of your, a lot of your former players are just keeping on winning, and they go to the next level, and they just continue on with the trend of victory after victory. But
it's so fun to watch them. And this year we had two All-Stars, Kayla McBride and Skylar Diggins, both made the All-Star team. What phenomenal seasons. K-Mac just in her second year on the All-Star team. Jewel Lloyd, Rookie of the Year. I mean, we've had such great success lately.
Coach, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. I want to wish you the best of luck in the season. I intentionally didn't bring up the shopping spree because Kimberly would be talking to me about it right after the show. So best of luck, and thanks for joining us.
Thanks. And I loved your costume.
Thank you
Excellent
very much.
Excellent Halloween costumes.
Thank you very much.
We'll be back in a minute.
Irish fans, make sure you download the official WatchND mobile app available on iOS and Android devices. The WatchND mobile app is the best way to experience great Fighting Irish digital media, video, and audio content right on your tablet or smartphone. You'll get full access to our entire video on demand library, live game and event broadcasts, live shows and press conferences, live game stats, and more. And best of all, it's free. Search for WatchND in the iTunes Store or Android Play to download the WatchND mobile app today.
It is a brave new world. Now the kids are telling their parents to please put down the cell phone. And mommy and daddy, you better listen. Details Monday, John Howell, WDLS, AM 890.
By the time most of you watch or listen to this show, our first guest will have done something no other player in the history of Notre Dame women's basketball has ever done. Start her 98th consecutive game, a milestone Lindsay Allen will or did achieve on Thursday night at Georgia Tech. But Allen brings much more to the floor than just longevity and durability. She is Notre Dame's floor leader and leads the ACC in assists and assist-to-turnover ratio while averaging just under 9 points per game. Off the court, Lindsay is a management consulting major in the Mendoza College of Business and a participant in the Rosenthal Leadership Academy. We are pleased Lindsay has been able to carve out some time in her busy schedule to visit the Jack Swarbrick Show today.
Lindsay, thanks for being here. I feel like we should knock on wood or something. I mean, if you turn an ankle getting on the bus after that introduction, I'm going to feel like the show is to blame.
I was going to say, we got to clear out the clear the room and make sure, John, we got to move you at least for sure. This is it's a dangerous place in here. We got to make all get everything out of the way. But good to have you on here.
Glad to be here.
So it's a good place to start. I mean, the durability required, sort of everything you have to do to make it through a season and never miss a game. You know,
not gonna say 21 games is hard enough for this guy.
Had some of that's luck, I know, but a lot of it's got to be the way you approach it, the way you approach getting ready and preparing yourself. How do you do that?
Yeah, part of it, like you said, is just being fortunate and just being lucky and not having any kind of freakish injuries or things like that. And just part of it is just with the help of Ann, our athletic trainer, and Craig, our strength and conditioning coach, kind of just helping us and making sure we're recovering well after games and that we're stretching, we're foam rolling, we're getting the ice bath, and that we're watching our nutrition to make sure we're fueling our bodies correctly for games and for practices.
Part of that longevity is you came in here and you started right away, which to me is absolutely mind-boggling, especially at a place like Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. How did you come in here right off the bat and just seem to fit right into the flow and the scheme that Coach McGraw has, and you really just became a leader from the start?
I think I just gained the respect of the seniors that we had that year, and Kayla and Natalie and Ariel, and I think that they respected my game and they had confidence in me from the start, and that definitely helped me coming in as a freshman. You know, a little bit nervous, not really knowing what to expect from that experience, but I was very fortunate to have them lead me during those years, and it's definitely helped me up to now.
Joe sort of alluded to it in his question, but you're not playing for any coach. You're playing for a coach who's pretty demanding when it comes to the point guard, right? She knows a little bit about it, and it's really the extension of her on the floor. So what's the relationship like between the point guard and Coach McGraw?
Our relationship is great. I think it's definitely helpful that she's played the position before and that she really knows what it takes to be a great point guard, because she was one in her years. And I think that we're able to see things that other players on the team don't see, and we're able to kind of have that connection and able to kind of relate to each other more than any other player would.
You know, something that's crazy about playing at Notre Dame is you guys, a lot of the time you guys go out there and you're expected to win. And you're not only expected to win, you're expected to dominate. As a point guard and kind of being the leader on the floor, obviously a captain as well, how do you go into each one of these games with very worthy opponents and continue to dominate for the last, 2 years you've been here?
I think coming in, you just have an established culture and established tradition of success, and I think that comes in with every single class that comes in, and coach really recruits that kind of player that wants to be better and wants to kind of challenge themselves night in and night out. And the ACC is a great conference with many, many, many great teams, and so I think that we are very competitive with each other in practice, and that's kind of where it starts, and then it carries over into games and it carries over into different seasons.
You hit a little bit on culture there. How have you tried to input your own touch on the culture here at Notre Dame, and maybe little things you've tried to do over your last 2-3 years?
I think my main thing as a point guard is kind of being like a calming presence on the court and someone that we can rely on night in and night out to do my job. And so I try to work hard in practice and kind of set that example, but also be there to be that vocal leader and kind of challenge my teammates when I feel like we're not giving our best effort.
You have sort of, from my perspective, having watch you closely for 4 years, you have sort of a twin on the men's basketball team. You and Steve Vastoria, no facial expression during a game, no demonstration of emotion, but you're both just killers. And the bigger the game, the more you see that evident. Do you work hard to sort of keep that absolutely level demeanor when you're playing?
No, not really. I think it's just part of my personality. I think I've grown up that way. My parents are kind of the same way. We don't really get riled up by many things. And it's just kind of keeping that flat composure during the games and not getting too high, too low, because things change so quickly in every single game. And so I think it's important for us to kind of keep that same composure throughout the game.
But something else is going on underneath the surface, right? Because you are one heck of a competitor.
Yeah, sometimes it's hard to kind of keep it all in. And I think that we have teammates who are very passionate and those who wear their hearts on their sleeves. And I think that's great because we definitely need both sides of the equation. But I feel like sometimes you kind of have to calm the team down a little bit and make sure we're still focusing in on what we need to do to get the job done.
Since you've came here as a freshman, obviously you started right away. But how have you felt your games kind of developed from then to now? And really, maybe some areas you feel like you want to work on, continue to work on,
in your development here?
I think just playing the college game, it's so much faster, so much quicker. So I think my conditioning has definitely gotten better, where I'm able to play extended minutes at a time and not really feel that tired. And that's a credit to our strength and conditioning coach, Craig. And I also think that just being around the team and kind of just learning the pace of the college game is definitely helped for sure. And I'm kind of picking my spots and knowing when to attack and when to kind of pull up for a jump shot. And so I think just continue to work on my jump shot, continue to work on my three-point shot and attacking the basket and getting to the free throw line more.
You're the leader of the team, of course, in so many ways. But, man, we got guards. There are a lot of guards and some really talented young guards.
Yep.
What have you done? Because they both contributed. Allie's hurt, but the other two, of course, making such big contributions to the team this year. How have you helped bring them into the program?
Yeah, they're two really talented guards, and I think they came in as high school All-Americans, and so they have that confidence and they have that talent, and they kind of have that that trait where they're really hard on themselves, and so it's kind of just encouraging them more and instilling confidence in them when they mess up, because they're new to the college game, so they're not really sure of how the pace is going to go at times, and when's a good shot, when's a bad shot. So just kind of teaching them the ways and kind of instilling confidence in them when they get down on themselves is really key for them right now.
Now, the other end of the spectrum. You have responsibility for feeding one of the best post players in the country, a real force on this team.
Yeah.
How do you sort of approach the game from that perspective? Because you want to get her you want to get Brianna involved.
Yeah, I think it's tough. We have so many talented players on this team, and anyone can have a career night any night. And so I think it's just kind of balancing what we're trying to do in that game and what our game plan is. If we need to go in the post, then that's what we're going to do. We're going to feed Bri. We're going to feed Kat. But I think if we need to kind of attack the basket more with our guards, and any guard is ready to do that, I think it's kind of balancing who has a hot hand at the time.
What are you looking for out of this team between now and the tournament, really, or in the ACC, in the end of the ACC, I guess, in order to improve enough to be where you're comfortable playing the best basketball at the end of the year?
Yeah, I think we've grown so much as a team from the beginning of the season to how we have a confidence in each other and how our chemistry has gotten so much better since, you know, just playing more games with each other. And I feel like we just need to kind of tune, kind of just approach it a little differently, mm-hmm. and just kind of have that still consistent effort night in and night out, and making sure we're still focused on the little things and kind of just fine-tuning the little things.
One of the differences I see in this year's team is the defensive success. The last two opponents, for example, shot season lows against you. Mm-hmm. You guys are really able to dial that up. Has that been an area of focus for the team this year?
Yeah, it's always an area of focus for Coach. You know, she expects the best out of us, and we try to give her that best effort every night. And so it definitely helps with having Bri in the post down there. She's really long, 6'3", long arms, can leap out of the building. And so whenever we might get beat off the dribble or anything like that, we have confidence in our back line to help us out and just our rotation, which we've been working on practice a lot. And so it's just us focusing on defense. And we've been challenged by Coach a lot in practice, and we responded really well.
I want to look back at the UConn game. Obviously, we're 19-1. We're having an incredible year. Mm-hmm. And I know you guys were without, you know, a post presence in that game. Yeah. And really, what can you take away, although you will have another player back for the next time you see a team like that, what can you take away from that experience as a learning point for the rest of the year?
I think the main thing we took away from that is that we could compete with anyone in the country. And we saw that night. I don't think anyone was expecting us to get within 25 of that team, especially on their home court. And so we came out there and had fun, played loose. The pressure wasn't on us. It was on them. And so we found that the freshmen really came up huge for us. And they really played with a lot of confidence in that early game in December. And we kind of knew that if we give our best effort and just kind of fine-tune, make sure we're not turning the ball over as much, things like that, I think we could play with anyone in the country and ultimately win a national championship.
Now, in some ways, I'm sure it seems like a long time ago, and in others, like the blink of an eye. But as we approach a signing day in another sport, reflect back on me about making the decision to come to Notre Dame. So you're mm-hmm. from Maryland.
Yep.
You had offers all over the country. What attracted you to this place?
I think the main thing that attracted me was just the combination of academics and athletics. I think that's really, really what I was really looking for in the school when I first was, you know, being recruited by schools and kind of visiting. And then when I came to visit here and I met Coach McGraw, I met my former teammates from a few years ago, I kind of got that feeling that this was the right place to be. You know, I was walking on campus one night and I kind of got that feeling, you know, that feeling you get where, you know, this is the school for you and, you know, this is where you should go. I'm sure Joe understands. Yeah. But, yeah, I just kind of got that feeling where, you know, this is the perfect situation for me. And
that's the one difference.
Let me go to Notre Dame.
Just let me hear. Talking a little bit about your Notre Dame experience, what's been, you know, really some highlights of your 3 years here? Maybe some things you like to do off the court. You know, maybe in the classroom, a particular class, the Rosenthal Leadership Academy with me, obviously.
Yeah, for a semester.
Yes. So you got those highlights.
I think on the court, well, kind of on the court and off the court, just the opportunities I've gotten to travel to different places because of the Notre Dame's basketball team. The summer before my freshman year here, we got to go to London and Spain and Barcelona, Madrid, all those different places just because of basketball. So that was really cool. And we're always traveling for games to different states because of the ACC and because of our non-conference schedule. And then just the dorm experience that you get. I mean, you come here as a freshman, not really know what to expect. You're nervous. You're away from your family. And then you come here, and it's just a different, your second family. They welcome you with open arms. They're really nice, really kind, and they just want to see you succeed here. And that's probably the most important thing for me.
Well, we love when our teams get to go to exotic places and travel as part of their experience. But I'm hoping you just drive down Highway 31 in a couple of months to Indianapolis for the Final Four. Good luck the rest of the season. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Good luck.
We'll be back in a minute.
The Fighting Irish play here. WLS. EM 890.
Welcome back to the Jack Swarbrick Show. Our next guest is very familiar to all Irish fans, Jeff Jackson, now in his 11th year as the head coach of the Fighting Irish hockey team.
Coach, welcome to the show. It's great to have you on.
Thanks, Jack. I appreciate it.
Team's off to a great start this year, but it's got a funny-looking record with more ties than losses. So 9-4-6, six ties. That's an unusual dynamic.
Yeah, it happens every once in a while. I mean, you know, I know in the pro level they've really tried to make an effort to eliminate ties, and I don't think we've done enough in college hockey to eliminate ties. Everybody's so worried about the pairwise and the rankings for the NCAA that they don't want to lose a game that's not the game, you know. So shootouts are something that's been tried, and in some leagues are still doing them. But we play the 5-on-5 overtime for 5 minutes, and that's it. And this conference, actually, that we played in this past weekend, actually goes to 3-on-3 after the 5-on-5, and then they go to a shootout. So, you know, it's something I think our conference and maybe nationally we need to look at is finding a way to eliminate all the ties. And, you know, I'm okay with ties when we get them on the road, but you'd certainly like to see, for the fans' perspective, is to have a resolution to each game.
What's your preferred way of resolving them?
Well, I've recommended in the past that we should try to emulate the National Hockey League. I mean, we try to recruit players because they aspire to play in the National Hockey League. That I think, with the exception of fighting, we should probably emulate the National Hockey League in almost every aspect. I'm not a big fan of the trapezoid for the goaltenders either. But other than that, I think that we should mirror the NHL and look at 3-on-3 potentially has become really popular in the National Hockey League.
Right.
But they go right to it.
Right.
And then if they don't have and almost every game is being resolved in 3-on-3 now. So, but they go to a shootout after that. But from the national perspective, I think we should end the game at 60 minutes and then take the record from that. And then let's find a way to, you know, come to, you know, a conclusion to every game.
Right. You mentioned the trapezoid for the goaltender. Speaking of goaltenders, we've been led by one this year. We had the privilege of having him on the show a few weeks ago, and he did a great job here. But, man, is he good.
Yeah, I mean, you know, last year we saw it in the second half almost, you know, he's almost like he played this past weekend. You know, our team's been much better this year as minimizing shots until this past weekend. I mean, we've been averaging only like 23 shots a game against. But last year, the second half of last year, you know, we were giving up against some of the opponents we were playing. We were giving up almost 40 shots a night, which was one of the things we wanted to clean up. And, you know, so far this year, he's managed that, the lower shot totals, pretty well. But more recently, this weekend, he was a difference maker. And he has that ability to make the difference in a game. And, you know, he's like a great closer in baseball. You know, he has that ability to make the big save at the right time, too, which is essential.
He's got that goalie personality, too. He's unflappable.
Yeah, he is. He's got a good demeanor. He's got a great attitude. He's really well liked by his teammates. I mean, goaltending is a unique position, you know, because it's almost like a singular sport within a game, a team mm-hmm. sport. And, you know, he's really managed it well as far as his role on the team. We actually made him part of our leadership group this year because he's that respected by his teammates, not just from his ability level, but from his personality and his relationship with his teammates. And he also does the job in the classroom, which is a nice combination for, you know, one of your best athletes.
You know, leadership is such an important factor for all our teams here at Notre Dame, and it's a difference maker from year to year frequently. Beyond Cal, who are the guys you're looking toward for leadership this year?
Well, we have a great senior class led by Stephen Fogarty, but, you know, Thomas DePauli and Andy Ryan, Mario Lucia, and Sam Herrer. First time in my career I've actually made five captains. Generally, we usually have between three and four. But this year I thought that each one of them had a specific strength that would benefit each other. And they're so close. They're such good friends, and they get along so well, and they all do things the right way. So it was an easy choice for me to just name them all captains. And, you know, Stephen Fogarty has been our captain for the last 2 years. He comes from a military family. His dad was an admiral in the Navy, and his brother's in the Navy SEALs. And You just tell on the character of the kid. You know, he comes from that kind of a family, and he's very calm, but he's got a great demeanor with his teammates, and you know he can also do it on the ice, which is an important facet to being a good leader as well.
Yeah, it sure is. On the other end of the spectrum, who are the guys contributing this year that the fans may just be getting to know, whether they're freshmen or they're taking on a new role this year? Where are the new contributions coming from?
Well, I think people got a chance to see some of our talented sophomores are starting to, you know, to show up a lot more. I think that quietly Connor Hurley's had a real good year for us this year, as well as Jake Evans. Everybody probably knows a little bit more about Anders Bjork, you know, having made the national junior team and coming back with a bronze medal this weekend. But the thing is that some of the sophomores are really starting to show their ability level. And I'd also say that, you know, that Dawson Cook is a kid that this year that didn't play much last year, starting to show a little bit more ability level and creating some offense, which we thought he had in him. And he's done a good job in anchoring kind of a what we call a grind line, mm-hmm. you know, guys that do a good job in the forecheck and in the offensive zone. And they've done a good job. But and then, you know, I think from the freshman class as well, we've got some young guys there. There's none of them that are, like, right now that are going to be considered star players, but they all are very smart and contributing players. Dylan Malmquist, Andrew Ogilvy, Joe Wegworth, and more recently here, Jack Jenkins is a guy I think people are going to start noticing a little bit. He's starting to play a little bit more right now, especially with Anders being gone last weekend. He played against BC, scored a goal. Just a tenacious player that fans will probably pick up on once they start getting a sense of who he is.
Great honor for Anders to be chosen for the national team. Got a chance to watch a lot of those games. I saw the ones where they were winning 10-1 and 8-2. They had a tough loss in the semifinals to Russia, 2-1. But beyond Anders, we had some other contributions to that team, right? Some staff members who were part of it.
Yeah, it was a great honor for both our equipment manager, Dave Gilbert, and our hockey operations director, Nick Sergey, both to earn that as far as being highly regarded in their professions. And they tend to rotate that around through college hockey. And obviously they want people that are going to be highly qualified, because those minor roles play major roles within a team, especially in a short-term event. You know, I think that it was great for – I mean, David had a chance to do this in the past when I was coaching the national junior team, and this was Nick's first opportunity, which is good because he's one of the best in the business and working with video and knowing the technology, and especially being over in Europe, there's always different types of complications that you have to be prepared for.
As a coach, are you conflicted when one of your best players gets picked for a national team like this? I mean, the honor is great. It says great things about your program, but you got to play without them.
Yeah, I'm not really conflicted. I mean, I have to be honest with you. I mean, I started the national team program and was the national coach for several years. And believe it or not, back then, college teams and sometimes the players themselves would not allow them to go. And kids would not be able to take part in the World Junior Championships, which to me, after the Olympics, is the next biggest event that goes on internationally. And since the development of the national program in Ann Arbor and now in Plymouth, I think that kids aspire to play in that team now. It's a great tool for them to elevate their careers, but it's really about the opportunity to play. I mean, there's no greater honor than playing for your nation, you know, and hearing the national anthem after a victory or after winning the gold medal. And I was fortunate enough to be part of that junior tournament for 6 years. And one of our main jobs was to try to educate people about the tournament, because even in the United States, I mean, it's the biggest event in Canada outside of maybe the Stanley Cup Finals. But in the United States, it was a pretty well-kept secret. And we had to educate the college coaches. We had to educate players as far as the importance of this event.
Well, the increased visibility of it, I think, has really helped in terms of broadcast. It certainly got a lot of attention this year. Currently ranked 14th, 15th, depending upon the poll. A successful first portion of the season. Look ahead for me. What does it look like going forward?
Well, I mean, it's, the second half's always tougher than the first, just because games start having more and more meaning to them. We had a meeting yesterday with our new mental conditioning coach, just to get an impression of, you know, what it's like to, you know, get your team ready for the second half of a season. In his case, it was pretty much post All-Star game, and for us, it's post Christmas.
Right.
You know, every year, there's like three seasons. There's the first half of the regular season, the second half of the regular season, everything amps up, and then the playoffs, and it amps up again, and the intensity level gets higher at each turn. And the first half, we did a good job for a young group. I mean, we're averaging probably 14 underclassmen in the lineup every night. You know, so we've got a younger group. I think the experience the sophomores had last year as freshmen has helped us a lot. But the second half is going to be more about our depth. It's going to be about, hopefully, injuries that we don't have. It's going to be about Cal and goal. That's going to be a big factor for us. And there's some parts of our game that we still have to clean up. But we have some tough games coming up here. We got Western Michigan this weekend, home and home. But then we go specifically to conference games. And
right.
And we have, I believe we have like 14 games left in conference, or 13 games left, one with BC here. We have BU, Providence. We have the top four teams with the or top five teams with the exception of UMass Lowell that we already played in our second half schedule. So it's going to be a demanding schedule.
BC's likely to come a little fired up. That was that's going to go down as one of the great hockey games this year, I think, pro or college. Tell me a little bit about the last, what was it, 7:30 of that game.
That's been an interesting trait of this team this year. Sometimes we fall behind, but, you know, last year I would have said that in that game we might have been done emotionally. This year I think we're much better in the mental toughness department. I think our teams, we did it again on Saturday night where we were down a goal, scored a goal with only, about 30 seconds left in the game to tie it. But this team, that night, we got some momentum, and that's hard to do on the road. Mm-hmm. But we had some really good performances by some guys, and our point men were actively involved in the offense. But we had good traffic at the net, and, you know, we were down 3-1. And then within, you know, a couple minutes, like you said, it was right around the 7-minute mark that the tide started to turn in our favor. And I thought the fact that BC was shorthanded at that point in time because they had some illness and they had some injuries, that we were able to use our depth to an advantage, because we got production out of, you know, all four lines that night, and that was instrumental to being able to come back and score that huge win for us.
Well, it was certainly exciting hockey, as your games always are. I hope our fans come out in big numbers for the second half of what I know is going to be a really exciting season. Best of luck to you and the team in it, and we'll be watching you. Thanks, Coach.
Thank you.
Irish fans, make sure you download the official WatchND mobile app, available on iOS and Android devices. The WatchND mobile app is the best way to experience great Fighting Irish digital media, video, and audio content right on your tablet or smartphone. You'll get full access to our entire video-on-demand library, live game and event broadcasts, live shows and press conferences, live game stats, and more. And best of all, it's free. Search for WatchND in the iTunes Store or Android Play to download the WatchND mobile app today.
Notre Dame football is on WLS.
EM 890.
As spring break wraps up, a lot of Irish teams are wrapping up road trips. The Irish baseball team is in Louisville this weekend. The Irish softball team is playing Virginia in Charlottesville. The women's golf team is playing in the Clover Cup in Mesa, Arizona. The men's golf team is playing in the Border Olympics in Laredo, Texas. The men's soccer team plays the Columbus Crew in Obetz, Ohio. While, as I mentioned at the top of the show, the 10th-ranked Notre Dame hockey team is hosting Northeastern this weekend in the best-of-three Hockey East quarterfinals. The men's tennis team is at Wake Forest on Sunday, and there's a huge Sunday of lacrosse at Arlotta Stadium, beginning with 6th-ranked Notre Dame hosting Princeton in women's lacrosse at 1 p.m. on Sunday, followed by a 5:30 matchup between the nation's top two men's lacrosse teams, Notre Dame and Denver. Two of the polls rank Notre Dame number one, the other ranks Denver number one. The bottom line, great lacrosse all day at Arlotta Stadium Sunday beginning at 1. That will do it for this weekend's edition of the Jack Swarbrick Show. We'll be back next week with an all-new edition. Until then, for Jack Swarbrick, Joe Schmidt, and all of our guests, I'm Jack Nolan. Thanks so much for listening, and as always, go Irish.
This has been the Jack Swarbrick Show, brought to you by Team Notre Dame Partners, Sprint, Coke Zero, Under Armour, Gatorade, and is also sponsored by Xfinity. Listen this time every week for everything Notre Dame athletics. The Jack Swarbrick Show on your home for Notre Dame football, 89 WLS.